Please take your Bibles and turn with me. We're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 3. The reading selections are going to be slightly different than what is in your bulletin there. But if we'll start in Proverbs 3, and when you have found that, if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. This is God's word. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And then if you would turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I will read verses 1 through 3. This is God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And then I'm going to have us skip over to the 2 Timothy passage, 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Again, this is God's word. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Then let's drop back to Colossians, just a few books. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 20. Once again, God's word. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then moving back to Colossians chapter 2, the chapter ahead, and I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This has been God's word. Please be seated. For those of you that may be visiting with us this morning, or for various reasons may have been away one of the last few weeks, the sermon this morning is the fourth in a series, a mini series of four sermons. And the occasion that got this short series of sermons started was in recent weeks we have had a few baptisms. And because of that, I wanted to take some time to explain how baptism serves as a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. So I've spent quite a bit of time explaining the nature of the covenant of grace and baptism and how it relates to it. That was the first two sermons. And then last week, I specifically addressed the responsibility of parents in the covenant to their children. And now in this fourth sermon, I want to specifically speak to those who are young among us. And by young, I have children in mind, perhaps those and I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm going to sort of break you who are young into three groups. I'm thinking like from birth up to, say, the ages of 6 or 7, perhaps, I'm going to call children. And then somewhere from the age of 7, perhaps up to preteens, I'm going to call you the young, the youth. And then there are the teens. And I want to address you in three groups because you're at very different places in your human development in these three stages. But if you are a baptized member of this church, that means you are in covenant with God. And so I want to address you in that special covenant relationship this morning. And one of the ways that we see that you are in covenant with God is that God specifically speaks to children, to those who are young, in Scripture. I'm sure you've noticed that. I'm sure that your parents have made you aware of the fact that there are a number of places in the Bible where God in His Word speaks and starts out by addressing you as children. We've read a couple of those this morning, the Ephesians passage and the Colossians passage, and additionally in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, God says to honor your mother and father, that is right. God does not, in these portions of Scripture, when He says children in the Bible, He is not speaking to just all the children of the world. The Bible is God's Word, and it is written for God's covenant people. So when you hear children being addressed, young people being addressed in Scripture, He is addressing you as His covenant people who have been marked out and separated from the world by baptism. I hope that you see that that's a very special thing, that it is a great privilege, but it also means that you need to listen. Let me just review a little bit about this covenant of grace. It's a covenant of grace because all of us, every single one of us without exception, is a sinner. And that means that every single one of us, unless God intervenes in a special way that we don't deserve, then what we do deserve is His wrath and eternal hell. Every single one of us, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what kind of a life you think you have lived, that is what you deserve because you are a sinner. You were born with a sin nature, and your thoughts and attitudes and words and deeds day by day show that that is what you are. And so the wonderful news of the Bible is that God has made a covenant of grace. It's an agreement between two parties, an arrangement. And God is the one who has established the terms of this covenant and the relationship. And what God does in the covenant is He promises something to you. He promises you, who actually deserve hell, He promises you instead eternal life. Now, how is God able to do that? How is He able to make that kind of a promise to sinners? Well, He does it because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ is the eternal second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who has become a true man, and He lived a perfect life, and He was qualified then to be a sacrifice for sinners. And the wonderful news of the Bible is that He has, in fact, died as a sacrifice. And that means that sinners who trust in Him can be forgiven all their sins and have the hope of heaven through him. Because heaven is what Jesus deserves. And what God calls sinners to do, to enter into this covenant and have a happy relationship with him, is to have faith, to trust in Jesus, and to repent, to desire to turn away from all that is displeasing to God and live their whole life the best they can as God strengthens them to serve him. And everyone, and I want you to hear this, and I hope that if you are young in particular, I'm especially making efforts to try to speak with you this morning. If you see in you a hearty trust in Jesus, that you see your sin and your filth and your guilt, and you believe that Jesus died for you, and you're trusting in him, and you also see that you want to and are trying to obey the Lord, those are the evidence of what Jesus is doing in you by his Holy Spirit. And you can know if you are trusting in Jesus that you are in this covenant in, and you have God's promise of eternal life in Jesus. Now, I want you to think about something. You're in this covenant, and the covenant establishes a relationship. And the relationships that we have with other people, they shape us. They define us. Who your mother and father are, that defines you. That's determined who you are, what you're like, where you live, the environment that you live in. Your friends, they shape you. Grandparents shape you. This church, it shapes you. The country in which you live, all the relationships with you have, that you have with other people in one way or another, they shape and influence you. And the covenant means that you have a relationship with the eternal, infinite God who made everything and is right now actively sustaining everything. And this God doesn't need anything or anyone. He's the giver and the sustainer of everything. You're alive because of him. You live in his world, under his sun, his stars. You eat his food, drink his air. I mean, breathe his air, drink his water. And you're in relationship with him. And what I want to encourage is that covenant relationship should shape you. That's why God's put you in the covenant. Remember last week, we saw that God gives your parents duties in the covenant to raise you in the Lord. And God, from your birth, he puts you in the covenant so that your parents and you as a part of the church may be nurtured in the covenant relationship to exhibit and have faith in Christ and repentance unto life. So I want to speak to you now and encourage you kind of in these three subgroups I want to encourage you to exhibit what in past sermons I've been calling the fruit condition, to have faith in Christ and repentance unto life. And to kind of organize our thinking, I want us to focus for just a bit on what I read in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. These two verses, I think it's safe to say, are something of the heart and nucleus of the book of Colossians. Everything else, in one way or another, is kind of found in these verses. And let me read them for you again, and I want you to listen to them very carefully, and then we're going to talk about them a little bit, and then I'm going to move on and address the children, the youth, and the teens. Listen to what we have here in the Word of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And there's four main thoughts in there that I want to lay out for us. First of all, Paul talks about having received the Lord Jesus. And that means that they have exhibited the fruit condition of the covenant. He is writing to people that he believes have shown that they have faith in Christ and repentance unto life. They have received Christ and his benefits by faith. That's what it means to receive Jesus. And he says, as you have received Jesus in faith, what's the next idea in these verses? So walk in him. And walking has the idea of how you are going to actually live. This isn't literal moving your legs and moving about. This is how you live. And you can tell that by looking back at chapter 1 and verse 10. There, Paul is telling them how he prays for them, and he tells them that he wants them to be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So you see, he's talking about their manner of life, how they live. Okay, so the first idea is receiving Christ, believing on him. The second idea is, if you have received Christ, then you ought to be a person who walks in the Lord, lives the Christian life, lives to please Jesus, trying to obey him. But how do you do that? Well, that's what the next little bit of these verses is about. And Paul, he says that the way you go about walking in him is that you have been rooted and built up in him. And rooted, you think of a plant, don't you? It's got his roots down in the ground. And then the idea of being built up has to do with growth. It's kind of the idea of putting up a building or a structure. So the only way you can walk in Jesus is by being rooted and built up in him. And then Paul summarizes what he means by being rooted and built up. He says, being established in the faith just as you were taught. Being established in the faith just as you were taught. So how does a person become rooted and built up? Well, it's through the faith. That is the content, the truths of the Christian faith. To be learning the Christian faith, learning about Jesus, studying the Word, growing in God's truth, that makes you established, firm, stable in the faith, to do it just as you were taught from the Bible. So we have receiving Christ, walking in Christ, but we can only walk in Christ as we're rooted, built up in him by being established in the faith just as we were taught it. And then the ultimate fruit is to be thankful, having thanksgiving to God, which underscores that God is at work in all of this. Whether it's in our receiving Christ, whether it's in our being rooted, built up, and established, those are things that we give ourselves to as Christians, but they are things that God does in us. He's the one that allows roots to go down and growth to come up and for us to be established. It's God's doing. And then walking in Christ. All these things are fruits of God in us. And so we abound in thanksgiving. So I'm going to use four tags then. Receiving Christ, being established in Christ, then walking in Christ, and then being thankful in Christ. And I want to use those four things to encourage each of you in different age groups to grow and mature in the covenant. So let me begin with you that I am calling children, the youngest among us. You are at a wonderful stage of life. You don't have hardly any cares or concerns. Almost everything is done for you by your folks. But you're still in covenant with God. There's a reason why you're in the covenant from your birth. And it isn't so you can wait till you're a teenager or a grown-up to think about the Lord. You're to think about the Lord, who is your God, from your earliest thoughts and years. And I want to encourage you, even if you don't think you're at a point where you could do what William and Samuel did, where they have formally professed their faith in Christ, you still, even if you're very young, less than 6 or 7 years of age, you should trust in Jesus. You hear about what Jesus has done from your parents, and you learn it in your Sunday school, and you hear it here in worship week by week. Trust in Jesus. Rely on Him, and He will save you from your sin, and you will have God's promise of eternal life. So trust, receive Jesus. And then grow. Be established in Jesus. You need to listen to your parents. Your parents need to open the Bible and read it with you and for you. But you need to listen. Can I encourage you to do that? That's why we have the Bible. Listen. Don't be distracted. Don't be playing, but listen to the Word of God. It's how God speaks to His people, and it's how He brings you to faith in Christ. So pay attention in your Sunday school. Pay attention in worship. Be it paying attention now. And pray. You don't have to wait till you're a grown-up to pray. God's put you in His covenant, and you should learn to pray now. Think about God. You can do that with your mind in the power of the Spirit, to think about God and ask for those things and seek those things from God that are pleasing and that you know from the Bible. So receive Jesus, be established in Him, grow, and walk. Live as a Christian who is a child. And one of the main ways that you do this at the age you're at is to obey your parents. And not just obey them outwardly, but obey them in your heart, to want to do it. And you know what? You will find, as God is at work in your life, by His Holy Spirit, you will be able, even though sometimes you'll want to do one thing, God will give you the strength to obey Him by obeying your parents. And think about that at times where maybe you're tempted to disobey your parents, and think about the Lord and submit to the Lord. And He will strengthen you to do that. And it's very important for you to learn to follow the Lord and walk in Jesus from a very early age. And you can do this as the Lord is at work in your life. And I want to encourage you in that. One of the things you will discover is you'll discover what's going on in your heart. And you will discover something of your sin. But let that remind you of how much you need Jesus. And that He's a faithful Savior. That sin that you see in your heart that you're struggling with, Jesus died for that sin. And confess your sin to Him and ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to strengthen you to live for Him more and more. And as you do, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God that He's put you in His covenant, that the sign of baptism has been given to you, that He's included you in His church among His people. And when you see other baptisms, think about God's promise to you and be thankful. And look forward. As week by week we observe the Lord's Supper, look forward to that. The Lord's Supper, one of the things that it's called is the Eucharist. It means thanksgiving. And as you see your parents partaking of it, look forward to doing that one day, but have thanksgiving in your heart for all that God has done for you in Jesus. I want to encourage you who are children in these ways. I want you to see how God's covenant with you shapes you. Receive the Lord. Be established. Grow. Listen to Scripture. Learn your catechism. Obey the Lord. Walk in Jesus and be thankful. But now let me move on to those of you that I'm calling the youth. And, you know, these ages, these are approximate, but I'm kind of thinking maybe starting at somewhere in the ages of 6 or 7 and going up to your pre-teen years. You're also at a very exciting phase of life. You are discovering that you are able to understand more things than you used to be able to. And when you're very young, you can understand things verbally, more words than you can use, but now you can use more words. You can express more ideas. And you are probably able to read. And you are also taking more responsibility for yourself. Mommy and daddy should be able to send you off to do things, and they're expecting you to be able to do some things on your own and report back. So you're able to understand more. You're able to be more expressive with your words. You are able to take on more responsibility. And as you grow as a human and have more of these abilities, you're still in covenant with God. So you're a person who's growing up, but you're in relationship with God. And I want to encourage you that that covenant relationship with God should be shaping you as you have more and more abilities as a human. So once again, taking the outline we have there in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Receive, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Right now, if you are in this category of the youth, the young, this is the ages at which many of you will formally make profession of your faith in Christ, because you're able to understand more. You're able to express more things with your words. And I want to encourage you to profess your faith in Christ, to prepare for that, to actually have faith in Christ. As a Savior for sinners, trust in Him, believe on Him, receive Him, have life in His name, and be established. Boy, those words of having been rooted and then growing up and being established in the faith as you were taught. These young years, like grade school and perhaps even into junior high, your minds are like sponges. And you still don't have a whole lot of responsibilities. It's a wonderful time of life for you to learn. And so, as you have been rooted, grow up. Use these years of time and leisure and the provision of your parents and a mind that is like a sponge to learn the faith. You are not too young to take up a habit of Bible reading, and I want to encourage you to do that, to read it, to think about it. If you are in this age group, this is a wonderful time of life to learn a catechism. And you will never regret the effort that you put into that, having words that are well organized so you can think about the Christian faith and understand it and express it to others and be aware of false doctrine and be better prepared to read your Bible. Continue to pay attention in worship in the home and worship here together as a church. You're old enough now to perhaps have a notebook where you can keep notes on the sermons, and it's a wonderful way to learn to listen to sermons. So receive Christ, be established, rooted, and built up, but also walk. Again, as I said earlier, you're at an age now where your folks can send you off to do things, or your teachers can send you off to do things, and there's the expectation you can manage yourself a little bit more. And I want to encourage you to use that ability in the covenant, in your relationship with God, and in the power of the Spirit. Be more responsible. Live as a Christian. Young people can desire to please the Lord and live for the Lord. That's not just a grown-up thing. May I encourage you to do that? Think about the Lord in all that you do. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do everything, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to do all to the glory of God. You think about your God. You're in covenant. He is your God, and you are His. Think about the Lord. Think about the Lord when you're alone. Think about the Lord when you're tempted to do something that you're not supposed to. And obey your parents once again. Your parents are not your enemies. God has given them to you, and they are a good gift to you. And obey them, not just outwardly, but with a genuinely good attitude, because you can trust the Lord. See, the Lord's over you. The Lord's over your parents. Trust the Lord. Love the Lord. He's given Jesus for you. And your sins are forgiven. And He's given you His Spirit. Do things as unto the Lord. Do your schooling as unto the Lord. All the different things you have to do, whether chores or schooling, learn to do them as unto the Lord. You can take out the trash as unto the Lord. Do it in a way that's serving Christ. And doing other chores around the home. Have you thought about that? I want to encourage you. There's nothing you can lay your hand to that you can't try to do it as unto the Lord. And friends, make good friends. Always find out and have a friend or two that loves Jesus, so you can be of encouragement to each other in the Lord. But in all these things, be thankful. Trusting and obeying. When you see yourself and recognize your faith in Christ, be thankful. That's what the Lord has worked in you. He's given you a new heart to trust Jesus. And when you see yourself, as I've been describing here, trying and wanting to do all these things, whether your chores or your schooling or something else your parents have asked you to do, when you see yourself thinking about the Lord and endeavoring to do them to the Lord, give thanks. That's a fruit of God in your life. His Holy Spirit is at work in you. Give thanks. You've been baptized. You've been washed. You are God's, and God is your God. Profess your faith. And as you do, participate in the Lord's Supper with Christ Church, as William and Samuel will this morning, with thanksgiving, receiving bread and wine, signs of Christ's body and blood, and receiving Christ and his benefits with thanksgiving. And now let me turn to you who are teens. Well, if the two previous periods of life were exciting, this one's really exciting. Teens kind of get a lot of bad rap, and sometimes it's deserved. But it doesn't have to be that way. You really are becoming much more adult-like, and you crave independence. You don't want to be told what to do, and there's a side of that that's good, because as you become an adult, you got to take care of yourself, right? No one's going to come and tell you what to do. You got to tell yourself what to do. And I want to encourage you, as you crave independence, be responsible with that independence. You see, where the problem comes is when you want freedom and independence, but you also want to just do whatever you want to do. Use your increased independence to be more and more responsible. And once again, and let me make sure you understand this, this is something of your goal in the covenant. You're becoming a young adult. Be a young adult in covenant with God, who loves the Lord, who seeks the Lord, who uses your ever-increasing abilities to think abstractly and understand more and more things. Focus those on understanding your faith more and more. Your friends become more important to you at this stage. Once again, have friends, but realize that the ultimate friendship you have, if I can put it that way, is with God in Christ by his covenant. See, one of the things that happens with teens is they get friends that they feed on each other in ways that displease the Lord. You see, those are negative relationships, but your relationship with God, living in that relationship, you can grow to glorify God more and more as he gives you grace. So to go back to Paul's template here in Colossians 2, receive Christ. If you are in your teen years and you have not yet received Christ, and I mean in your heart, you know you're trusting in him, that you see your sin and your need and rely on him, do that. I call you to do that. And having received Christ, then be established in him. Again, that idea of being, having been rooted and then being built up. Your mind is able to contemplate and understand now much more complex and wonderful things, and you're able to reflect on life and things in a much more serious and wonderful way. If you have not yet, in your youth, at least at this time, establish a habit of feeding yourself, feeding on the Word, reading Scripture, being at worship to participate and hear and receive the Word and learn, and doing it not because your parents have gotten you here, you want to be here. Seek the Lord. Desire the Lord. Desire and enjoy sweet fellowship with God in Christ, and as you endeavor to truly live for Him, you will become aware of more temptations. But pray. Prepare for worship. Desire the Lord. Do not waste this season in your life. If there is any great sin of the teen years, maybe it's always been this way, but it is certainly this way today. It is waste. Wasting your time and your abilities and this season where you still have the provision of your parents, and just wasting it on becoming proficient at games and endlessly looking at things on Pinterest and just being self-absorbed about clothing and hair and your sports scores or, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying you can't do any of those things, but I'm talking about, where is your heart? And you don't have to be absorbed with those things. You can be a teen and love the Lord and endeavor to live a godly life. And so walk, having received and being established, walk in Him. Your increased desire for independence, use it to be responsible for yourself. Give your parents no reason to upbraid you. Live for the Lord. Manage yourself. Constrain yourself. Listen. Perhaps this is another temptation that you don't want to listen. But more than ever, you need to listen. You need to listen to your parents. And in this congregation, there are others, other adults, who will befriend you and care about you. But ask. Ask how to live. Ask for their advice. Ask for their prayers. Ask for their encouragement. Be friendly to all people. Try to influence as many as you can. But in these years, have as your close friends only those who are godly. Those that will spur you and you with them on in the Lord. Beware of the snare of pleasure and laziness. Paul says that the person who lives for pleasure is dead while they are alive. And there are many teens in this world who are vigorous and healthy in their bodies, but they are dead even though they are living, because their lives are completely absorbed and taken up with living for pleasure, living for self in just a narcissistic, self-absorbed way. All their thoughts are about themselves and what they wear and who they know and where they go and what they do and what they watch and what they listen to. And it's me, me, me. And my young friends, the great commandment that Jesus has given us is to love one another as He has loved us. And that is a self-giving love. And I want to encourage you, especially you who are teens, walk in Christ. And think about your long-term goals as Christians, perhaps as a husband and a wife, provider and prepare now. Don't waste. Walk in Him and be thankful. As you see these kinds of fruits, a hearty faith in Christ and endeavoring to live for Him. Again, one of the great temptations of young adulthood is pride. And the grace of God, when we see its fruits in our lives, that's not a basis for pride. It's the basis of humility. That I wouldn't even have a Savior if it weren't for God's grace. And I wouldn't believe on the Savior if it wasn't for God's grace. And I could never possibly desire, how imperfectly I do it, yet I could never desire to put sin to death and grow in Christ if it were not for the grace of God. And so be humble and be thankful. See His fruits, see your sin, confess freely to your God, and worship Him in Christ. This is how to live in the covenant, to grow up in the covenant. These are some of the kinds of things that you are called to do. By His grace you believe, by His grace you will strive in these ways, and yet you, along with all the rest of us who are older in this congregation, you will every single day discover abiding sin. And until we are glorified, you will not be done with that struggle. And you will fail. And you will sin. Perhaps, if I can bring this and open it up for the whole congregation, perhaps this is a great morning for all of us as adults to have reflected on our early years and the ways we have walked in folly and waste and squandered opportunity. Let's confess to the Lord. And we can do this because it is a covenant of grace. God has provided a surety. And the surety, Jesus, His work, His death on our behalf, His righteous life for us, it is the ground, the basis, the foundation on which this covenant is offered to us. You see, Jesus wasn't just any child, any youth, any teen. He was the perfect image bearer His whole life, even in His early years. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, "And the child Jesus grew and became strong in spirit and was in the wilderness." I'm sorry, wrong verse. My apologies. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, "And the child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." All these things that have been described here today, Jesus did perfectly. Whatever His human capacity was, He lived in that perfectly before His Father as a human. And He did that for you. And He's qualified to be our sacrifice. He lived that way until He died. Trust in Him. May all your confidence be in Him, and realize the covenant that you are in. As you have received Christ, so walk in Him, having been rooted and being built up and established in the faith as you were taught. And be thankful. Let's pray. Father, whatever our age, we pray that we will, having received Christ, also walk in Him. And we pray as a congregation this morning that as through your word you have specifically addressed those who are young among us, that you will be at work in their lives, that they will seek you, that your Spirit will be at work, and that they will learn to live and have the wonderful grace of very sincerely and earnestly living for Christ from a very early age, and make them fruitful. Please do this, we pray, our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare to come to the Lord's Supper.